David lists the blessings that God has given. And so I thought it'd be worthwhile to share those blessings, because we need to be reminded we have so much to be thankful for. And I just want to read the first couple of verses, and then we'll pray and dive into the message. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that You renew us, Lord, that You found us, Father, broken, and You did what was necessary to mend our hearts and our lives in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we have a lot to be thankful for. And Lord, in just a few days, as we load up with all kinds of tasty food, Father, may we be reminded that we have been loaded up with blessings from You. Your Word tells us that all the good stuff in our lives comes from above. So thank You, Father, for blessing us. Guide us in this message for Your name's sake. In Jesus' name, amen. I heard about a cynical businessman who decided that he was going to hand out 175 turkeys to his employees, and he only got 4 words of thank you from his employees, 2 cards handwritten, and 2 thank yous at the job site. He was angry, and he said, "It took me 61 years to learn how people are not grateful, so I've decided I'll never be grateful for anything again." He was difficult to get along with. Aren't you grateful that our God is not that way? That He does not treat us in such a fashion when we are not grateful for the blessings that He provides? In Psalm 103, it's one of the most difficult times in the history of Israel. It's a dark period in the nation and a time to be discouraged. And David, in the midst of the Psalms, those ancient songs, at times he would say, "Oh soul, why are you so downcast?" And in that, he's having a pep talk to himself. Stop. Remember the blessings of the Lord. Remember how He has worked in your life and how He has provided for you, even when you felt like you were abandoned and that you had no hope. God has always been present and always one that you can trust in. As I think about His blessings and how we tend to be ungrateful, I want to read to you. This is a quote from a book by John Tal Murphy. "It is ironic, almost to the point of comedy, that people should so focus on evil that they blindly overlook the immeasurable abundance of good, happiness, and even pleasure carried on by this planet at every given point in time. Should we count the thorn without counting the stars? Do we forget that there is more peace than there is war? That there is more beauty than ugliness? Why should we focus on hate and miss seeing love, or hear the groans of grief, but be deaf to the songs of joy? On any fair estimate, the sheer volume of beauty, pleasure, goodness, and happiness in the world would eclipse the very highest count of evil." So the question for each of us, does Thanksgiving permeate my life? Am I really grateful for what I have, or do I spend my time and my energy complaining about what I do not have? As David opens up in this ancient song, he responds to God's benefits with a single word, praise, or in some translations, blessing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. To praise gives the picture of a heart that is boiling over. It is a hot heart. It is a passionate heart that remembers how good God is and how good He continues to be and how we can rest in that blessing. In the Amplified Bible, it's translated affectionately and gratefully praise the Lord. In Psalm 100, verse 4, we read, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise." We have a God who is good and has reached out to us in love. In the Old Testament, there were different types of sacrifices, thank offering sacrifices that festivals were a part of, and it was all a time to remember how good God is and how we can place our lives in His hands. And in the New Testament, most of the letters that Paul wrote to the churches began with a word of thanksgiving. I want to just share a few. In the book of Romans, Paul writes, "First, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is reported all over the world." And to the Corinthians, "I always thank God for you because of His grace given to you in Christ Jesus." To the Philippians, "I thank my God every time I remember you." Now, I want to take a moment and just share the difference between thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving is when we give praise and thanks to God for what He has done. Praise is when we thank God for who He is, where we simply worship Him, not merely what He has done, but who He is and how we can give Him our hearts. We need to do this in all things. I think it is interesting that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we're told, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The Scripture doesn't tell us give thanks for all circumstances. I mean, let's face it, there are some things in life, I'm not thankful for that. But that's not what He tells us. He doesn't tell us to be thankful for all things, but in all things. And to be thankful in all things is to remember God is in control. And He has a meaning and a purpose behind what we even do not like, or even what we do not want in our lives, what we desperately want taken out. I want to read to you from Luke 17, starting at verse 11. "Now, on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have mercy on us, Jesus.' They had a great need, and they cried out to Jesus, and Jesus showed compassion. He healed all 10 of them, but of the 10, only one came back to express gratitude. Only one fell at the feet of Jesus and said, 'Thank you, Lord, for healing me.' And Jesus said, 'Where are the other 9? And what is interesting about that one, he was a Samaritan. The Jews looked upon the Samaritan as lowlife, as a type of trash in the community. They did not want to socialize with the Samaritans. And although he was not accepted among many around him, he was fully accepted by Jesus Christ. And he did not take his healing for granted, but he went back to his Lord with a grateful heart, which is a call that we too are to have, to be filled with the recognition that Jesus is our Master and that our lives are safe in His hands." In the 1800s, in Lake Michigan, there was a ship, the Lady Elgin, that sank, and many were trying to escape that ship as it went down, and there was one student from Northwestern University who was there who managed to save people who got close to the shore. He would swim out, and he would bring them back to land, and he saved a number of people. Years later, at the age of 81, he died. And he had suffered some health concerns through the years because of his heroism. And he, in his obituary in the newspaper, it was mentioned, not one of those people that he rescued ever thanked him. General Patton, George Patton, my father served in World War II under General Patton. General Patton, after the war, said in his memoir that no one except one soldier ever thanked him for his leadership. So how many never go back and say thank you? Think about Santa Claus, all these letters that go out, kids send, this is what I want, here is my wish list. But I've heard from post offices that only one or two a year actually thank Santa Claus for the gifts. A heart of thanksgiving is so crucial for all of us. There's a Chinese proverb that says, when you drink from the stream, remember the source. What great wisdom. When we drink from the stream of blessings, remember the source is our God. Let's go back to Psalm 103. We also want to notice the recollection of God's benefits. Look with me at verse 2 of our text. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives your sins, heals your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns your life with compassion, love, and He renews us like the eagle. You see, David was making a list of the spiritual blessings of God. And that is helpful for all of us, to make a list of what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. To begin with, I just mentioned briefly, who forgives all your sins, all your iniquities. In other words, for us, that means the cross. We need to remember the scandalous grace and love of Jesus Christ, who went to the cross. I love it in Hebrews where it says, for the joy set before Him, He went the cross, to the cross. If we had no other blessing, that is the ultimate blessing, that we will be with God for all of time, because Jesus decided it was more important that He went through a separation from God so that we would not have to be separated for eternity from God. So we have that great blessing of forgiveness of our sins, of our iniquities. You jump down to verse 8, and He continues to tell us of the blessing. He says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Man, what a beautiful statement. We do not have to worry about our sins. They have been paid for in full. And so we have a great blessing in that God's forgiven us. I heard about an epitaph on a tombstone that was one word, forgiven. And then I heard of another commentator mentioning this. He said, man, when I get to heaven, I will never shut up about the forgiveness Jesus provided. I want that to be on my lips. I want that to be my heart, to be grateful, to be thankful for the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, of the precious Lamb of God. Next, he talks about He redeems our lives from destruction. He rescues us from the pit. One translation said, He prevents our lives from going to waste. How beautiful to think about how many times God has saved our lives. How God has spared us from ruin. How He has helped us when we were in danger. I think of years ago as a teenager, I was out with some friends driving kind of wildly. I shouldn't have been doing it. And the car started spinning back and forth like this. And I came to this bridge that was a narrow bridge. And just at the moment, I just knew I was going to impact that bridge. Suddenly, the cars started to level off, and I just kind of barely came on both sides of the bridge and straightened out. As a matter of fact, I think especially in my younger days, those angels were tired and said, God, could you give us another assignment from this guy? He's really bringing me to exhaustion. But the truth of the matter is, God has spared us from the pit. He has spared us from suffering that we deserve. And we should be grateful for that. Next, he tells us that he crowns us with love and compassion. Do you have a blessing? Maybe you have just been able to secure a job that's been a great blessing to you. Maybe there's some other new blessing in the family. You just got married. You just had a child. Or your children had some great blessing happen. And look, when someone you love is blessed, you're blessed. And so our God is responsible for that. He is the source of those blessings. And we need to give Him thanks. And that will bring us joy when we realize that. Next, the Scripture tells us, He satisfies your desires with good things. In some texts, it speaks about He blesses us with good food. And the picture of an example I read was of a slave woman who was praying before she ate, and a little boy next to her said, "Why do you pray?" And she said, "Because I have to thank God for my victuals. He's been so good to me." And he said, "Well, they'll still be good whether you pray or not." And she said, "Yes, but everything tastes better when you're thankful." And it's true. Life is better when we see through thankfulness, through gratitude. That makes a difference. A little boy back east shared this letter in his church. He said, "Lord, I thank you for my mommy. I thank you for my daddy. I thank you for my brother. I thank you for my sister. Help my dog. Help my cat. And Lord, please take care of yourself, because without you, we're sunk." Little boy understood he needed God, even if he didn't totally understand how powerful God is. Next, David begins to recall his personal benefits, how God has personally blessed him. And here's just a few insights into that in the text. In verse 6, he tells us, "The Lord executes righteousness, justice for all those who are oppressed." In verse 8, he speaks of the fact that God is there. In verse 15, he says, "As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, he flourishes, for the wind passes over it, and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting from those who fear Him, and His righteousness for His children's children, to those who remember and keep the covenant of the Lord." And it is so vital in our lives that we're marked by thanksgiving. You know, the truth is, we tend to be one way or the other. People either recognize us for our gratitude or for our grumbling. And may we not be recognized for grumbling, because nobody wants to be around the grumbler. I think about Job, all the misery that he was going through. His wife was totally discouraged, and she looked at Job as he was scratching his sores with broken pottery, and she said, "Just give up. Curse God and die." And he said, "Honey, should we not accept the pain as well as the good that God gives us? We should accept the affliction as well as the blessings." And then he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised." Thanksgiving is based on a belief that we don't see the full picture right now. There are all kinds of colors in the pictures that we see. Sometimes they seem more like a blob that is not recognizable, but God is behind the painting. It is not finished. He is at work in order to make what He wants to make, His creation, as He continues to move and as He continues to work. As he goes on in Psalm 103, he talks about His reign, and he comes down to verse 19, and he talks about He's established His throne in heaven. And then he says, praise the Lord, you His angels, the heavenly hosts. He talks about how all of creation and even all of heaven, it is all made for Him and all made for His glory. So the good Lord who made everything has decided to share blessings with you. That is good news for all of us. The point is, when we do not feel that we are blessed, when we feel that we have been abandoned, we need to stop and remember, God is there. There's a story of Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy when they were thrown into a prison camp for helping some Jews, hiding them away in their home from the Nazis. So Betsy and Corrie were alone in this one place, and it was terrible. And her sister Betsy said, let's thank God for everything we can in our room. And so they walked around and they said, well, we have a place to sleep. We have a window here. Mentioned several things. But the one thing that Corrie could not thank God for were the fleas. The fleas would bite her and make her miserable. And Corrie and Betsy would have their Bible studies in there, and the guards wouldn't come in and bother them. But Corrie could not thank God for those fleas. Her sister died, and Corrie grieved. But she found out later the reason that she and her sister were able to have the Bible studies alone was the guards did not want to come in because of the fleas. And so she realized even what she thought was a curse was actually a blessing of God that He used to give them a chance to worship Him. Think about the evergreen tree. Regardless of the season, regardless of the temperature, it's always green. It's ever green. And the people of God are called to strive to be ever thankful. That's His heart. Matthew Henry, in his beloved commentary, he tells a story about one time he was robbed, and I want to share that with you from his words. He said, Lord, I thank you, first of all, because I was never robbed before. Secondly, because although they took my purse and they didn't take my life. Third, Lord, thank you because although they took my everything, it wasn't very much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not I who robbed. You know, when you think about the pilgrims, when they first came, it was a very difficult time for them. There were 7 times more graves than homes to house the living. There was a lot of heartbreak. But in the midst of that, there was by Governor Bradford these words written in 1623. Inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, He has made the forest abound with game and the sea with fish and clams. Inasmuch as He has protected us from the ravages of the savages and spared us from pestilence and disease, He has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. Now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that ye pilgrims with your wives and little ones do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th, in the year of our Lord, 1623, the third year since ye pilgrims landed on Plymouth Rock, and there go to listen to your pastor and to render thanksgiving to your Almighty God for all of His blessings. And my hope is that this Thursday, when you meet with your family and loved ones, you too will give thanks to your God along with your family. Let's pray. God, thank you for allowing us to be together. And Father, even though I've had to record this beforehand, my heart is with your people. And so, Father, I just pray that we would have a thanksgiving that would remind us of your blessings. And Father, for those in our family that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, I just ask, oh God, that this Thanksgiving would be an opportunity for your people to share your goodness. And Father, just to say, you know, it's just better with Jesus. So Father, I just pray you do a mighty work in your people. And Father, may we always remember you and thank you that we not only have you, but each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.